Question number one. Why did you start trout fishing?
When I was a kid, a young boy, it was my whole family fished. And I can remember every year my father would take off in the spring of the year, always the first weekend of trout season, and take off and go fishing with his buddies. And of course, being a young boy, I always wanted to go with him, but I never did. And so there was something, you know, mysterious about going trout fishing. I can remember when my father would come home, he'd bring the trout home, and they looked different. They were a lot prettier, more, you know, they were pretty to look at because of their colors and everything. And I always thought that it'd be neat to go fishing for that type of fish. So finally, when I was in sixth grade, my father invited me to go with him, so I got to go trout fishing. And so I guess it was just a natural, the fact that I love to fish, and then being able to go with my father when I was in sixth grade, just it kind of became hooked, because it's just a different type of fishing than sitting in the boat. It was fun to get out and see the water, see the stream. I didn't catch any fish that first time, but I had a lot of fun.
Okay. Why do you like to fish for trout?
Well, as I mentioned before, fishing for trout is different than going out and sitting in a boat on a lake someplace. Trout are perhaps the wariest of fish that there is. They are afraid of man. When you're fishing, if you don't fish for them correctly, you spook them, and they won't bite. You won't catch them. When you trout fish, you have to have a strategy. You have to plan how you're going to fish for them. You have to, first of all, know where trout are going to be at in the stream. You can have a big stream, but there's not going to be trout throughout that whole stream. They're going to be hiding under undercut banks or under logs or in holes, deep holes and places. And then when you actually fish for them, you have to present the bait to them so that it looks natural, so that they will bite. And so it's kind of a challenge to fish for trout because of the fact that they are wary. If you spook them, you won't get them to bite. You can fish for them all day long, but if they see you, so you have to actually stalk the trout, and it's a challenge. It's a game.
Okay. What is your most favorite type of trout and why?
Well, it's hard to say. I guess the most beautiful trout to look at is probably a brook trout. The brook trout, the colors on a brook trout are incredible. They're so symmetrical, and the bright oranges and the dark grays and the wormed mottled on their back and the little circles, little red circles surrounded by blue on their side, and the colors are just incredible, so they're beautiful to look at. Brook trout are relatively of the three trout that there have been more than three different types of trout, but of the three trout most common, rainbow trout, brown trout, and brook trout are the easiest to catch, but they also, they don't grow as large as the other fish, and so when you catch a big one, you have a real trophy, something that's really kind of special. Brook trout are the most beautiful. Rainbow trout probably are, I enjoy catching them because they are probably the best jumpers. When you do catch one or hook one, they jump, they come out of the water, and they make, trying to land one a real trick. Brown trout are perhaps the strongest of the three fish. They're ferocious fighters. One thing I like about fishing for brown trout is that when you present a bait to a brown trout, he doesn't monkey around with it. He'll either, when he bites, if you're fishing with worms, when he bites, you've got him. As soon as he hits the bait, you've got him. Whereas a brook trout, on the other hand, they nibble at the bait and play with it, and it gets kind of frustrating. You can tell if you can't see the fish, and you've got a fish that's coming up and biting at your hook, and you can't hook it. And it's a good bet that you're working with or trying to catch a brook trout. But brown trout, if you put a line underneath an undercut bank and he hits, you've got him hooked, and they fight ferociously. As far as table fare, the brook trout are, in my opinion, the best tasting. The brown trout have a stronger taste. They're stronger, fishier taste. And rainbows are somewhere in between them.
When you were younger or now, did you have any favorite fishing spots? If so, what were so special about them?
Favorite fishing spots?
Yes.
Well, when I first really got into fishing for trout, I fished on a river called Cedar River up by Harrison, Michigan. I can't say that it was necessarily an outstanding trout stream, but there were trout in it, and I can remember going out, and I think I came home one day with three brook trout, as it happened, and that was a pretty exciting experience, in that I'd never done that before. There, I guess, my favorite fishing, well, there's a couple places that I like to fish. Up by my cabin up in Antrim County, Cold Creek is always a good producer. I've caught some real nice rainbows in Cold Creek. I've caught nice sized brook trout and good brown trout in that creek. The reason I like the creek is that it's very cold. It has a lot of deep holes, a lot of logs that the fish lay under, and little undercut islands out in the middle of the stream. It's a stream that runs for its length. It probably only runs about 4 miles before it goes into the Grass River, but most of that length is running through Cedar Swamp, and it's just a very beautiful stream in the summertime to fish. A stream I don't even know the name of the stream, but it's up by Frankfort, Michigan. That's a stream that runs out, begins, it's just a trickle at one end of the section, and by the time it comes out of the other end of the section, it's about a 2 mile stretch. It's a pretty good flowing stream. I can't think of the name of it, but it's what I like about that stream is that it's deep. The only way you can fish it is to wade it upstream. There's so much high grass, the grass on the banks, it runs through a grassy swamp, and the grass in the summertime, and it gets up to 6 to 8 feet tall, so you can't walk the bank, so you have to walk the stream. It's deep, you're wading water that's chest deep. Of course, chest deep on me isn't, I guess, all that deep. But the reason I like that particular stream is that I've consistently caught large brown trout in that stream, and the largest fish, stream fish that I've ever had on, I had on in that stream. And I lost it. I didn't catch it, but I had it on, and so I knew that there's some really large trout in there, and enjoy fishing there. So that's a favorite spot. I don't get there very often. Cold Creek is pretty accessible. Of course, one of the other places I really like to fish is in the Jordan Valley on the Jordan River. The reason I like to fish there is not so much that I caught so many great big fish there, but because it's aesthetically, it's beautiful countryside. It's all wilderness with a lot of beaver ponds and a lot of wildlife. You see deer and rough grouse and all kinds of animals when you're going along the stream bank.
Okay, what are some typical trout fishing methods?
Well, there's several different methods. Of course, the one that's most popular and probably the most aesthetic way to fish for trout is to fish with flies, to fly fish with a fly rod and artificially tied flies. Fly fishing, you can fish two different ways. You can fish dry flies, which is an artificial fly that floats on top of the water that imitates an insect that might be floating down the stream on top of the water. And then you can fish with streamers and nymphs, which is fishing a fly that goes underneath the water and imitates a larva of different kind of flies that may be hatching or minnows or something else. Once again, aesthetically, dry fly fishing is perhaps the most exciting, in that when you cast your fly upstream, when you dry fly fish, you cast upstream. Your fly, as it's floating, the fish, when he bites, he comes right out of the water and nails it. And of course, you get the big splash or the roll when he takes the fly in. And then, of course, you have to set your hook and battle it. Fishing with nymphs or with streamers beneath the surface, you don't see the fish actually take the bait, but and that's fishing with streamers and nymphs is a lot in some ways like fishing with night crawlers or fishing with worms. Now, my experience, I haven't fished fly fish that much. When I have fly fished, I've really enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. But most of the streams that I fish are so small and so brushy that fishing with a fly doesn't always seem practical. Now, I suppose you could fly fish with streamers or with nymphs in those small streams, but dry fly fishing would be totally impossible because of the overhanging brush. And most of the fishing I do, I seldom get into the stream and actually wade the stream. I'm always fishing from the bank and sneaking up on the holes or the holding places or hiding places where the trout would be hiding, and trying to get the bait into the hole without spooking the fish. When you are fishing with worms like that, you know, a lot of people, you have to know how to read the water. You have to know and have a good concept of what the stream, where the fish are going to be. And so once again, it's more of a stalking. You're actually hunting as opposed to, you know, just setting out in a boat someplace and getting a sunburn. You actually hunt for the spots to put your bait. And when I fish with worms, I'm always looking for logs, and I like to fish going upstream. And the reason I do that is that a lot of times, if there's a large fish that's out on a feeding station in the stream or underneath a log, I can see his tail actually, you know, waving back and forth in the current, and then I am able to make a plan of attack whereby I can sneak around behind the brush and get to where I can put my bait in the water so that it floats down into the fish's field of vision or into his feeding area so that it looks natural. You've got to, when you're fishing for trout, you can't, your lure or your bait has to appear as if you're fishing with a worm. It's got to look like a worm that has been washed in, you know, into the stream and is floating down the stream. You can't just, you know, put a big sinker on a hook and use a great big old hook and throw a worm in and let it go splash and expect the trout to bite it, because as soon as it splashes, he's going to go hide and he's not going to bite. And so when you fish for trout, you've got to be very cagey and very careful at how you get the bait to them. Or else you spook them and you don't catch trout. And that's a secret. People who go out and catch trout learn by experience what they're doing. You know, a lot of people go trout fishing. It's like these guys I saw this past summer, or the opening of trout season this past year. I had been fishing upstream, and I come downstream, and there were four or five guys sitting around with a bonfire at the edge of a great big open stretch of water where the water wasn't probably more than about 2 feet deep in the deepest spot, with great big old hooks and sinkers like you would fish for suckers in the Shiawassee River. And they just had their lines thrown out there in the middle of this stream that is just as clear as the water is just as clear as gin, and expecting to catch trout. And when I asked them how they were doing, they said they hadn't caught anything all weekend. And I wasn't a bit surprised, because they certainly weren't fishing the way you're supposed, you have to fish if you're going to catch trout. Now, in that same place, if they were fishing after dark, they might have been able to catch something there, but certainly not the way they were fishing. They were just wasting their time. So there are definite things that you have to do when you fish for trout. You have to fish for them, you stalk them, and you have to meet them in their own environment. You have to beat them, because they just have an intelligence about them that enables them to spot danger, and once they know someone's, you know, something's not natural, you can't get them to bite. They won't bite at all.
Okay, what are some of your most memorable fishing experiences?
Well, those that really stick out in my mind, of course, the one time I went up, the very first time I went trout fishing, that was a memorable experience. It's in my mind. I remember it just as if it happened yesterday. I can remember many of the things we did that time. That was memorable, even though I didn't catch fish. I guess as far as successfully catching fish, back a couple of years ago, before my brother-in-law Dick moved to Oregon, he and I took off in his van and spent 3 days just traveling around from stream to stream. We didn't take any food with us. We had food, but we didn't take any meat. And we determined that if we were going to eat meat, we were going to have to catch it. And so we went from, we slept in the can, in his van, and we went fishing, and we stopped at several different streams and caught enough fish so that we could eat. But the one was that when we fished the stream up by Frankfurt that I mentioned earlier, both he and I fished it 2 days, and we easily caught our limit of nice brown trout fish that were as large as 17 inches, which is a real nice sized trout out in a small stream, and that's what we were fishing. And your daily limit at that time was 5 fish a day, and we both limited out the 2 days that we fished. So that was proud. That was a memorable experience. It was kind of fun because it was just he and I, just kind of, you know, two guys getting up, and we ate fish and we fry up potatoes and onions and drink coffee, make coffee, and that's all we ate for lunch and supper. And of course we'd have eggs for breakfast and bacon, but that was memorable. One of the most memorable and most beautiful experiences I ever had was back in 1980, I think it was 80 or 81, we went to Estes Park, Colorado, and my father and I were able to go up into the trout streams there, which were streams where you could only fish with flies only, and fishing in those beautiful mountain streams that ran cold and deep, you know, the waters was fed by the melting snow, you know, cold snow. But being up there at that high altitude with down in these valleys that were with beaver ponds, you know, and wildflowers and the birds and the animals, and with mountain peaks that would rise several thousand feet on both sides of you, that was a memorable experience from an aesthetic point of view. It was like a motion picture. It was better than a motion picture because it was real. That stands out. We caught a few trout, enough to eat, mostly brook trout. Occasionally we'd catch a cutthroat trout. That's a trout that is native, or I guess it was planted in the mountains, but that's a type of trout that is kind of a species of a rainbow trout, except it doesn't have the red stripe down its side. It just has a red, the gill covers are reddish color. And we caught a couple of those, but that was a memorable trout fishing experience. I've caught a few big fish, steelhead, on a couple of occasions that, you know, perhaps were memorable experiences. But really, for me, trout fishing doesn't necessarily mean you have to catch fish, you know, to have it be memorable. Other things, just setting and the beauty of the nature around you can make it memorable even though you don't catch anything. That's why I like to go to the Jordan Valley. Doesn't matter to me whether I catch fish or not. I like to catch them, but what is really moving to me personally is just the beauty of that natural setting, which just kind of takes you into a different world out of the humdrum and the pavement and the concrete and the buildings and traffic and this. It's just you off by yourself in nature.
Okay. How does trout fishing make you feel?
Well, I think I touched on that. It's you set apart from the rest of the world. You're surrounded by a natural setting. Your adversary is the trout. He's crafty and he's wary. You have to be just as crafty as he is in order to fish for him. You've got a plan, you've got to know what you're doing. If you want to be successful at it. It is a sort of a quest or an accomplishment that gives you one's self-esteem to know that he's been able to match wits with the trout and beat him at his own game. And for me, catching trout, you know, the time that I had the large brown trout on and lost him, you know, it would have been nice to be able to bring him out of the swamp and show him to everybody, but even after he broke off my line, after I'd played him up out to the where he was laying on his side almost, I didn't feel bad about it. As a matter of fact, I felt good in the fact that he was able to escape and that he'd be still around to, you know. As a matter of fact, that's what draws me back to that stream, in the hopes that, and that's been 6 or 7 years ago that I had that big fish on, and yet I still go back knowing how brown trout are. They are, they're kind of like hermits, and they have their own territory, and when they get big, they stay in that same spot. They don't move. And so whenever I go back, get a chance to go back to that stream, I always go with the thought in mind that I might be able to once again hook onto that big fish, and hopefully, or you know, presumably, if no one else has caught him, he's 7 years bigger than what he was when I had him on the first time, and so you don't really have to catch the fish to get a feeling of satisfaction out of fishing. And there have been times when I've even gone fishing and not even caught a single fish, and yet just the opportunity to be out and to pursue something that I really enjoy doing or love to do, it brings me satisfaction and relaxation. So that's how I feel. I just really enjoy it.
What changes, if there have been any, have taken place since when you started trout fishing when you were a kid from then until now?
Well, changes. Well, I've become more confident in what I'm doing. I've learned by trial and error. I catch more fish now. When I was younger, what I just told you a minute ago was perhaps I wouldn't have been true 15, 20 years ago. Because at that time, perhaps in my mind, the mark or the indication that I was successful trout fishing was if I came home with a creel full of fish. And so I would oftentimes go fishing and fish hard and long until I caught my limit of fish. That was it. At that time, your limit catch was, five trout, brooks or browns. Rainbows and brown trout, and then you could catch five more brook trout, which would give you a daily limit of 10. Now your daily limit on brook trout was always 10 at that time, and so I would always fish until I caught my 10 fish. Today, That doesn't matter. If I go out, if I'm hungry and I go out and I want to eat some trout, if I go out and catch two or three trout, enough to put in a frying pan, that's all I care to have.
Alright. What are ideal trout fishing conditions?
Ideal conditions. Well, it depends on what you're looking for. Weather conditions, I always seem to do better right after it's rained when I'm fishing with worms. And the reason for that is, of course, the rain washes a lot of worms and other terrestrial or little bugs and things into the water. And when that happens, the fish become so involved in feeding that they're not as wary as they normally are. And there's always a good chance that you can catch a lot of trout and sometimes catch larger trout right after it's rained. Not when it rains so much that the water becomes dirty or cloudy, because most trout streams, you see, are the streams that I like to fish are, for the most part, are clear and clean water, pretty, you know, compared to, while comparing a trout stream to the Shiawassee River, they're clear, they run cold. ideal trout stream in the summertime, probably the water temperature runs, you know, right around in the 50 degree range, in the 50s right up to about 60, or maybe down to 45 if it's a spring fed stream or in an area where the springs are. But because a lot of times when it rains, you get all the mud and stuff that's washed in along with the worms and whatever. I don't like to fish when it gets real muddy, when the stream gets real muddy. But right after it first starts to rain, I've noticed that when I'm fishing on beaver ponds, if it's a bright sunny day or it's been bright and sunny, a lot of times the fish won't bite. But you get if it clouds up and you get a little bit of rain, what happens is the raindrops making ripples on top of the water blocks the view or the field of vision of the trout, and it makes them if they can't see you or distinguish that you're standing there at the edge of the beaver pond, they're more likely to bite. That's right after it first starts to rain. But normally you will catch more trout on a cloudy day than you will on a day when it's bright and sunshiny under most circumstances, because of the fact that the cloudiness helps the fisherman conceal himself. It makes him, it diffuses the light so that the fisherman blends in with the trees and the shrubbery and the grass and whatever that might be on the stream bank. And so cloudy days seem to work better than a bright sunny days. But I've had days when I've gone fishing right at mid-afternoon and not a cloud in the sky and the sun as bright as can be, and I've caught fish and caught lots of them. And then I've had days when when it's been raining and I haven't caught any. So, you know, but as a general rule, cloudy day is better than a sunny day. And if it's raining a little or right after it's rained some, it's usually better conditions. For fishing with worms, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, your light conditions real early, and a lot of fishermen get up real early in the morning and fish first thing in the morning, or they fish late in the afternoon or in the evening. And once again, it's the... It's the reason that the fishing for trout seems to be better at those times is because you don't have the sunlight directly overhead, and therefore it's harder for the fish to see you when the light is not as bright. So early morning and in late in the evening, just before dark, is also a good time to fish.
Okay. What are some highlights or things you remember most about fishing when you were a kid?
Fishing when I was a kid?
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't do that much trout fishing, and as a matter of fact, I was either in high school or out of high school before I even ever caught any trout. So I can't say that there was that much to it. I remember as a kid, in just talking about fishing, what used to tickle me. My family would always go to Interlochen State Park on their vacation, and I remember my grandpa and my uncle and my dad would get up early in the morning and take off across the lake and go all the way over to the other side of the lake to go fishing in hopes that they were going to catch these big bass or pike that were going to be on the other side of the lake. Well, they would come home around noon after they were done fishing, and they seldom would ever take me, but they would allow me to take the boat, and I was able to row out and fish in the afternoon when the sun was bright and the big fish weren't supposed to be biting. And I can remember rowing the boat out at 100 yards offshore, maybe not that far, maybe only about, really probably 25 to 50 yards offshore, and anchoring in about 5 feet of water and catching all kinds of rock bass and perch. And most of the fish that we ate while we would be on vacation were not the fish that my grandpa or my dad caught or my uncle caught, because they seldom would catch very many of those big ones. But we would eat the fish that I would catch in the afternoon. And I can remember I can remember my dad used to get frustrated because I'd bring in these fish and they weren't quite big enough to his liking. They weren't long enough. And I can remember my grandpa would go over to the fish cleaning place and he'd clean anything that I caught, and we would always eat them. But my dad, my first tackle box, I remember, he painted right on top of the tackle box a measuring thing that was 6 inches long, if I was going to keep a fish, it had to be 6 inches long, and if it was 6 inches long, then my dad would clean it for me. But I remember that as being a kid. It's kind of interesting. I can remember, as a very small child, and this is before I was in kindergarten, we lived on Henderson Road, and a creek called 6 Mile Creek ran right at the bottom of the hill from the old house where we lived. 6 Mile Creek ran across the road there. And I can remember, and I have no idea how I did it, because it's just all kind of foggy. But I remember I received for Christmas a little fishing pole, a little teeny fishing pole that had plastic fish and a plastic hook, and you could hook those fish and catch them when I was just a little kid, 3-4 years old. And I used to think that was fun. Well, I remember one time, I still can't remember how I did it. But I remember one time I took that fishing pole and somehow I tied a regular fishing hook on it. And while my dad was at work, I went down at the bottom of the hill at the bridge there, and I had a little bucket, a little sand pail, and I must have had some worms, and I put these worms, or maybe it was breadcrumbs or something, on a hook. Anyway, I caught enough shiners or chubs that I was able to fill that little bucket with these fish. These were minnows.
and I took them up to the house, and I was so proud of them that I showed my mom. And I was so proud of them, I was just so sure that my dad, when he would get home, would clean those minnows or shiners for me, and we would have them to eat. And so I guess that's my very first experience. They weren't trout, but boy, for a little kid, maybe 3, 4 years old, it was pretty important that I caught those fish all by myself. And it may have been that my mother went down to the creek with me. As a matter of fact, she probably did. Maybe that's how I got that, because I can't remember. I can't picture a four-year-old kid baiting a fish hook, so maybe my mother baited it for me. But at any rate, my dad came home, and he didn't clean my fish. He planted them under a tree out in the yard. But that's a memorable thing from when I was a kid. I do remember the biggest bass that I ever caught was in Duck Lake. It was a 17-inch bass caught on a night crawler when I was a kid. But like I said, I didn't catch that many trout when I was a kid.
Okay, getting back to the biggest trout you caught, if you could tell me what happened in detail of your experience.
Well, probably the biggest trout, I've caught some steelhead. Steelhead trout are rainbow trout that migrate from the stream out into a big lake and live in the lake, but when it comes time for them to spawn or reproduce, they swim back up into the stream till the females come in and lay their eggs, and then the male steelhead fertilizes the eggs, and then after spawning they go back out into the big lake, and these fish grow extremely large because out in the lake they have access to a lot of food fish. The shiners and alewife, like in Lake Michigan, or the smelt. And so they grow really large because they have a lot of food that they're, you know, that they are able to eat. Steelhead are big, and that's the largest. One time I caught two of them, and both of them weighed in the 8-pound class, and they probably ran 25 to 28 inches long. But perhaps the most memorable trout that I ever caught was I caught a brook trout in a stream that probably in some places wasn't more than 3 feet wide, and in some places the water probably wasn't more than about 4 or 5 inches deep. And this brook trout was 14 inches. And coming out of a stream like that, coming out of any stream, a 14-inch brook trout is a real trophy. But on this particular stream, it was so small, so brushy,